I noticed in the outline here, the scriptures, not all of them are read, but some of them that are referred to in the outline have to do with the Lord's coming in glory. And I was just wondering if, yet it's part of the first one, it's about the coming of the Lord for the church. And I was wondering maybe it would be well if we address the question, what basis do we have for this distinction in the coming of the Lord for the church and the coming of the Lord with the assembly to the earth in power and glory? And that would be a good question to ask ourselves as we open this. We have a good scriptural foundation. I believe we do, but I'd like we can open this up.
Well, we know that generally when the phrase the coming of the Lord is used, it refers to what's called the rapture. And why is it called the rapture? Well, we are the body of Christ, we are his bride, and we are going to meet the bridegroom. And this is a joyous time, of course. It's a time of joy, a time of happiness. And that's the next event, really, on, if we can use this phrase, God's calendar. Now, God doesn't have a calendar like you and I, and there's no time in heaven as we know it. But I do believe that the reason the rapture has not taken place is because the last soul has not yet been saved. So in this day of grace, anyone who does not know the Lord as Savior can put their trust in Him. And when that last soul is saved, then, in my opinion only, I guess, the Lord will come. That is, He'll come for His own. And this will be the meeting we read about in 1 Thessalonians. We'll meet Him in the air. Those who have died in faith shall be raised first, and we with them shall then be raised, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And certainly there is tremendous comfort with that truth, isn't it? It does not change. This is the next event, I believe, on God's calendar. That is the return of Christ. But it will issue in a period here on earth, generally called the tribulation, scripturally called the tribulation. A terrible time, really. A time of suffering. And I often wonder, what will people say when suddenly a group is suddenly gone whom they have known? And there'll probably be some natural explanation given. Where are all these people now that we've known, and now they're no longer here? Well, we know the world will have some explanation for that. But we can visualize, even though we don't see it, that the mere presence of believers on earth does have some restrictive effect upon the sin that's all around us. We don't see that. We don't have people come up to us and say, well, I'm no longer sinning because I see you're living a different life. No, we don't see that. But we do have some effect, especially if we're faithful in our testimony to the Lord. We do have some effect. We may not be able to see it, but it is there. Now visualize all believers suddenly gone. Nobody here. There is no longer anything to restrain the sin that is in the world. Nothing. And it'll be a terrible time, especially the last 3.5 years. This is the tribulation period. But we will not be here to pass through that tribulation period when we have faith in the Lord.
May I add, not only will we be gone, but so is the Holy Spirit, who now holds things through us sort of down, sort of in check, that the evil does not spread as far as it will, tribulation.
Perhaps just to go back to the question that was asked, the difference between the rapture and the revelation, I think it's important for us to see there is a distinction in Titus chapter 2. In fact, it's here on our outline, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I understand that in the original, the word "and" isn't in there, and it's seen as one here. And that's precious to us, because we should be looking for both. We should be looking for the rapture, when the Lord, that blessed hope, when the Lord takes us home to be with Himself. And we should be also looking for his glorious appearing when he has his rightful place here on this earth that has rejected him. But the difference between the two, I think, are very distinct. And just maybe just to give us a little outline of the difference between the rapture and the revelation. We have in 1 Thessalonians 4, the verses that we read, that there the Lord comes for his own in the air. When we think of the second coming, or we think of the revelation, when he reveals himself in glory and he comes to the earth, we can excuse me, in Zechariah 14, for example, in verse 4, we could turn there and read that verse. But also he comes for his saints in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in the revelation he comes with his saints, and that's a great distinction. He comes for his own in the rapture. He comes with his own in his revelation when he reveals himself. He comes for the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For waiting people in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see him coming for an unexpected people, or coming to an unexpected people. They're not looking for it. He comes as a thief in the night. That's the revelation. And then in also the day of the Lord, the church is before the day of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We find that the revelation is during the day of the Lord. Matthew chapter 24. We'll get into that, I'm sure. And then just a couple others. It's a time of joy for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 will tell us that the rapture is a time of joy for the believer. We're anticipating that. We're waiting for that to happen. But for those that it comes unexpectedly on, it's going to be a grievous time, as was mentioned. And then it's a mystery not yet revealed. 1 Corinthians 15 would remind us that it was a mystery up to this point. But the glorious appearing wasn't a mystery. The glorious appearing is given to us in the Old Testament. Time and time again, there's much given about the second coming of the Lord. But the rapture, being that the church itself was a mystery, the rapture itself also was a mystery. And then lastly, I would say a distinction is that it's not dated. There's no date for the rapture. There's no time when it will happen. It can happen in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in an instant. But we know that with the appearing, once the Lord appears, there is a time frame that's mentioned. So just a distinction between the rapture and the revelation.
Perhaps the verses in Mark's gospel were with that thought that no one knows the day or the hour, but it also applies to the appearing in the fact that it'll come as a thief in the night to those. But we likewise, we don't know the day when the Lord will come for us and take us to be with himself. So that's perhaps why the reference to Mark's gospel.